Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and more than money. Well, taxes are always an important conversation.
Oh, great. Here you go.
Death is no excuse when it comes to paying taxes.
Isn't it there's a saying, two things you can't avoid, death and taxes?
Death and taxes, that's right. Anyways, nobody better to help us understand how the heck that all works than Jamie Golombek, who's the Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. Jamie, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be back.
I want you to tell us about a recent case that involved some surprise taxes for some children that inherited money from their father. I think this will be of interest to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's actually a strange story, but probably more common than we think. So the general rule, of course, is that when you die, there's potentially tax. And at the end of the day, let's say you've got no surviving spouse or partner, then typically speaking, if you have gains in your portfolio, there's a deemed disposition for market value, could be some capital gains tax. But the biggest issue for many Canadians, of course, is that when they die, their RRSP, or more likely their RIF, if they're over the age of 71, would be fully taxable in income. Right. So typically speaking, if you've got a RIF of $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, you could lose about half of that on death. And that's normal. That's pretty standard tax policy. The interesting case that came up just recently is you had a father that died, and he named his two daughters as beneficiaries of his RIF. Now, when someone dies and there's a named beneficiary, the money goes outside the estate and goes directly to the beneficiary. So the sisters get the money, and lo and behold, a little bit while after that, they actually get hit with an assessment of tax, which is unusual because normally a RIF is taxable in the deceased's hands. And there's no difference here in this case. So the father actually owed taxes on the RIF. Apparently, the father must have owed other taxes as well, because what the CRA did is they invoked this very special rule called the non-arm's length transfer rule. And they ruled that because the deceased father owed money to taxes on the date of his death, not just taxes on the RIF itself, but taxes on other things that could have been, who knows, building up for years. We don't have the details in the case. The sisters were personally liable because they had received a transfer. What was the transfer? They were named as beneficiaries under the RIF. So, it was a very interesting situation. Of course, in the end, the sisters lost the case, and they had to fork over the funds to the CRA to cover their late father's responsibility. Now, that's pretty different than we normally think about, because normally if someone, dies, there's a income inclusion to the estate, the value of the RSP or RIF, and the estate has to pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the CRA went after the beneficiaries to pay the tax, presumably because the estate was insolvent and they didn't have them funds. So very, very interesting case.
So in advice to individuals out there who are in similar situations where they're naming a beneficiary that's not their spouse or common law partner, should they be doing?
A couple things to take from that. Number one, of course, if you're the executor, and these people were the executors, you should get a clearance certificate from CRA to make sure all taxes have been paid before distributing money or spending it in that particular situation. But I think more importantly, particularly in a province like Alberta with very minimal probate tax, so it's not a big concern, maybe it's a good idea to name the estate as the beneficiary of an RSP or RIF. And the reason I say that is because that way all the money's in the same place. The money belongs in the estate. There's now enough funding to pay any tax liabilities, and ultimately the beneficiaries don't have to worry about that because the money's in the estate. There's money there to satisfy CRA, and then ultimately the net after-tax amount after taxes have been paid can be paid out to the beneficiary. So if you're acting as an executor, maybe it's better in some situations not to name a specific beneficiary, rather to have the estate as a beneficiary, and therefore at least there's going to be money there to pay the taxes. So maybe they were trying to avoid that. I don't know the facts in this particular case. We don't have those kind of details, but I think it's a good warning. I think it's a good warning for all Canadians on, number one, how RSPs and RIFs are taxed on death, that they're fully taxable, and number two, you can't escape the tax. So just because you name a beneficiary on there, if the estate doesn't have the cash, they will go after any non-arm's length people that received money from the estate.
Well, and I think there's a good warning in there for beneficiaries. Estate planning stuff is, we talk about this regularly, Faisal, something that you can't take for granted, right? We've had a number of show pieces in the last little while about people making various mistakes that impacts them.
But they don't think they're making a mistake. They go into their financial institution, they have their RSP or retirement income fund or RIF, and they and the financial institution says, okay, who are you going to name as your beneficiary? Well, I have no spouse. Put my kids on there. And it just happens. There may not be a conversation about, you do know this has to happen. Or the individual's not getting the proper information when they're preparing their wills, saying, look, you have a named beneficiary in your registered investments. And it's not a spouse. Here's the tax implication. You have to have the following steps taken care of, which means they can go, they meaning CRA, can go after your beneficiaries for that money. And I it's unfortunate for this family that had to go through it. And my understanding, these two sisters, they spent some of the money and so forth already before this all got caught up. And so that's part of the problem, right? Like there's multiple pieces that you're working on, and somebody has to coordinate all this kind of stuff so you make sure that doesn't slip through the cracks.
Jamie, yeah, I mean, one of the examples I often give, just on a very simplistic level, if someone dies with, let's say, $1 million, they have $500,000 in their principal residence, and the other $500,000 is an RSP or RIF, you name one son as the beneficiary of the estate, that's going to get the principal residence, you name the other one as a beneficiary of the RSP. Of course, the problem is that the tax on the RSP doesn't go with the RSP, it goes to the estate. So effectively what you have is you have the son getting the $500,000 tax-free RSP because the liability is on the estate. The estate had a house worth $500,000, but now has a tax bill worth, you know, up to 50% of the value of the RSP. So effectively, the sons are not being treated equal because effectively the person who gets the estate is actually going to inherit the tax bill on the RSP they didn't receive. So I think this is the complexity. This is why it's very important to sit down with a financial advisor and with a lawyer to make sure they really go through all the tax and estate issues to make sure that you're really doing the right thing, especially when you're naming a beneficiary other than a spouse or partner, which I think is generally fine.
Yeah, so that's a real good lesson to learn, everyone. Not all assets are equal when you die.
From a tax perspective.
From a tax perspective. So let's put that in perspective and get the advice that you need. Jamie Golombek, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
We've been joined by Jamie Golombek, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. And Dave, tax is the biggest expense you're going to have through your retirement.
Correct.
And so there needs to be a strategy. And because tax is so important, how do you integrate that with your investments, with your lifestyle, with your health concerns, all these issues
with
that
your
will come
legacy,
up.
Leaving it behind.
Leaving it behind. You're going to be one of the beneficiaries that you don't even have to put in your will. Is CRA.
They put their hand up. Absolutely.
And they're first.
Yeah, they're first.
And they're first. So how do you deal with all these issues? How do you solve this problem? We call it bulletproofing your retirement through our process of asset dedication. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, March 10th, 7 p.m. at the Hamptons Golf Course. Now you need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Stick around after the break because we're going to talk about how the coronavirus might actually be a gift. That on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.